You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
We're live, pal. Pal, we're live.
Hey, we're live, pal. Sorry, my microphone all of a sudden went haywire and I couldn't hear anything, so I had to rejigger it on the fly. But yes, we're live. I'm, of course, Jose Youngs. It's the ASN Live Chat. As you can see behind me, I'm in the process of moving, so half of my bookshelf is no more, and you'll see a massive stack of boxes behind me. No one cares about any of that, because moving sucks, and it is a pain in the ass. But joining us this week, 1 hour earlier, because we have Bellator 256 media day. Is that the right number, Casey?
That is true. 256.
That is true. You can hear Casey on the ones and twos there, and joining us this week, of course, is cool Alex Savas. Alex, how is life?
Life's good. You know what? I love moving. I've moved every year of my life since for the past like 8 years, I feel like. I never get situated.
Yeah, and I don't hate moving. It's just I didn't realize how heavy books were. And I have a lot of bookshelves, and I bought a lot of Rubbermaid bins, and I filled one up and quickly realized I'm about 7 Rubbermaid bins short. And I can't move one of them because it's so heavy. It's like 100, it's 100 and something pounds of books.
Yeah, you're supposed to use the small boxes for books.
That would be too many boxes. I probably have 200 boxes in here if I bought a bunch of tiny books. But we'll get it done. I'm only moving like 5 minutes away, so it will happen. But yes, early squad, hardcores only from Jessica Crystal Crew. But of course, on the ones and twos, Casey, how's life in Englewood? Yup, checks out. Shrug.
Doing all right.
Some people only listen, Casey. You got to make a shrug noise.
Shrug.
Sigh.
It is what it is. But of course, we're looking great, apparently, according to AK Lee. Always looking great. Anyway, yeah, well, Casey, you know the drill.
Sky's blue.
You have questions.
Whoa, okay.
No UFC last week, but we had Bellator last week. We have one championship today. We have Bellator this week. We have the UFC back. So I feel like for the first time in a long time, it feels like old times with so many fights happening in like a 3-day span. All we need is Ryzen. Don't put that on me.
Well, Ryzen's busy having meetings with Dana White.
I'm sure we'll have questions about it, yeah. So I didn't want to talk about it just yet. But yes, I'm sure everyone saw that. And then, of course, after this lovely stream, or if you're listening, go watch Bellator Media Day right after. It'll be on our Twitter, right, Casey?
Are we doing that now? Yes, it will be.
Yes, it will be.
And soon it'll be on our Facebook and all our major social platforms. I don't do Twitch. I don't know. Twitch and TikTok. I'm not into.
I don't know nothing about TikTok at all.
Kids.
There's a lot of TikTokers in Arizona though.
Is that it? We're good?
Anyway, right. You guys know the drill. Ask all the questions you want on Twitter, on Facebook. Not Facebook. Twitter, YouTube, the site. Casey will find them.
Yeah. All right. We got lots of questions, so we're going to have to be fast, Casey. Here we go.
From Scott McCrae, when will we see the UFC Bantamweight Championship? So a bunch of questions right here. When will Aljo and Jan run it back? What will it take for Triple C to return? Which weight class do you think it will be 2 weeks out? Which of the three title fights are you most excited about? If you have picked tough coaches, If you could have picked tough coaches, please exclude Jorge and Colby. Which two would you have chosen? Thanks. Love the A-side chat. So, want to rapid fire these, I guess?
Yeah, Alex, let's do rapid on these.
Yeah.
When will Aljo and Pure Jan run it back?
I love these questions. I don't know.
Yeah, right? I don't know because Aljo still wants – he's taking it seriously. He's going through all the concussion protocols. So until we see him back in camp, I don't honestly know. Casey, what will it take Triple C Henderson to return, and which weight class will he return at?
Lots of money and whatever division Dana White pays him the most at. If he'll come at heavyweight, if that's what he gets paid the most at. So,
I have a feeling we would be having a different conversation about Triple C returning if Jan and Aljo had a winner, like a definitive, like no controversial. Like, yes, there was a winner, but there was controversy about it. Because I'm pretty sure Henderson Cejudo was at the apex with both of his belts, like ready to cut a promo at the press conference. But I don't think he wanted to do it after that. Anyway, 2 weeks out, which of the three title fights are you most excited for? I'll ask both of you this. So, Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal, Valentina Shevchenko and Jessica Andrade, and then Zhang Weili and Rose Namajunas. Alex, I'll start with you. Of those three, which are you most excited for?
I think people expect me to pick, you know, two of these, but I'm actually going to pick Masvidal and Usman. Masvidal's stock is plummeting, I would say. And I think if he goes into this fight with a full camp, you know, he lost the last one because he didn't have a full camp or whatever else. Like, now he's got a full camp, he's got no excuses. So I'm kind of excited to see if he can pull that off and if he can plummet his stock even farther.
Casey, what do you say?
Definitely Weili versus Rose, and a close second would be Valentina versus Andrade.
I'm most excited to watch Weili fight because of all the fighters that we just talked about. She's had the longest break, and the last time she fought was our fight of the year. So I'm mostly excited to see her specifically fight, but I can't deny I'm very excited to watch the main event. I'm excited for all these cards, but I'm very, very excited for that.
Is Weili the? Oh, sorry. Weili. Was she the only champion that hasn't fought since the pandemic for UFC? Am I forgetting one?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. She's. I think it's the only belt that hasn't been fought since the last.
I guess technically bantamweight. For the women's, because both of Amanda Nunes' title defense has been featherweight.
Well, I'll go fighter. How about that?
Okay. Yes, I believe so. I guess there was no. Yes, because Jan defended his belt against Izzy. Yeah. I was going to say there's no defenses. So, yeah, you're not wrong. Cool. So, and that fight was epic. And that was the last time there was a full crowd. And that was MMA Fighting's fight of the year last year. So, and Joanna hasn't fought since either, but she said she's waiting for fans to come back. I thought for sure they'd try to get her on this Jacksonville card, but because she's based in Florida now. But anyway, if you could have picked tough coaches, excluding Jorge and Colby, which two would you have chosen? Casey, I'll start with you.
Tough coaches? I would pick nobody versus nobody.
Yep. Okay, but if you had to answer Scott McCrae's question.
I'm not letting you say nobody. Oh, jeez. Tough coaches. I would actually pick maybe real coaches. I don't know. We'll have Habib, because right now he is coach of the year. Habib versus, I don't know, name a good coach. One of the guys from Sanford MMA. Henry Hooft.
So like
I'm giving bad answers because I don't care about this question.
Alex, who would you have picked?
Have they done female coaches before?
They did Rhonda and Misha. And then they did Joanna and Claudia.
Yeah, so I don't know.
They've done the bantamweights and they've done the straw weights, and they've never done featherweight or flyweight for women.
I've never watched The Ultimate Fighter, so I don't know what makes a good tough coach. Is it about more about personality? Is it more about skills? Is it Casey seems like he just wants to die.
It's about kicking indoors.
It really depends, because obviously all the famous parts are like when Cody and TJ coached against each other, they would yell at each other and try to fight each other the whole time, or they would butt heads. But then I think genuinely, you have, there were some coaches like Chael Sonnen, Mayhem Miller, Michael Bisping were really good coaches, like on that. Like, I think Chael Sonnen was a phenomenal coach. But then you have guys like Brock Lesnar and Junior Dos Santos who have no beef with each other. They're just two massive human beings that are going to fight down the road. So I just think it depends on how you want to take it.
Is it like the real world that they fight every once in a while?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Theoretically, it sounds like I would like it because I love reality TV, but I can't.
It would be like the Bachelor, where you have like they line up and this and the coach goes, "I want this guy to fight this guy," and then they fight. Colby and Jorge, if you love the drama, Jorge and Colby would have been great. I don't particularly care about any of that, but I wouldn't have hated Jan and Aljo, just because if Aljo needs to recover, there's a concussion. Those are also two really good camps. That's like Eric Nixon and Couture, right? Extreme Couture. I get all the Las Vegas camps like confused, like Syndicate Couture and all that stuff. So it'd be like Eric Nixon and like Matt Serra and everyone. And then you have Jan at ATT. That would have been really good teams right there. Plus they would have fought down the road and they could have verbally sparred the whole time. That wouldn't have been the worst. But you're not going to get beef between Volkanovski and Brian Ortega.
True.
See, no one cares about the coaches if they're good coaches. That's like that. So why are we even asking?
People do. Casey doesn't. Some people do.
God, that shows. But I do like some of the suggestions. Maybe we got to change it up and change tough how basically the rules of Temptation Island. I don't know what Temptation Island is. But yes. It sounds pretty cool, and if you can involve some cage fighting in Temptation Island, yeah, I'm sure, yeah. But right now, the format is tough. It's blah.
It's a little played out.
All right, I'm not talking about this anymore. Next question. Okay, whatever. Oh, another tough one. God
next,
dang.
Next week, only tough questions. Don't ask anything else. Casey can sit there pouting the whole time, and we can still talk about it. John Malkin. The decision to make Alex V and Ortega tough coaches was perplexing, especially if Alex could fight soon. It also puts Max without a logical opponent coming off such an amazing televised fight. Maybe he's a beat for his next opponent. Was this a good call by the UFC? Don't really care. I think if we're making decisions about the champion, I don't think you need to take the number one contender's fight schedule in hand with Max Holloway, unfortunately. I think Max is the odd man out, but Volkanovski is the champ. He's 2-0 against Max. And if he's not ready, because I don't know if you know if you watch his interview with Ariel or you watch his video on his own YouTube channel, COVID has kicked his ass. So I'm sure he wants to recover. So sorry, Max. It's unfortunate. But yeah, if you want to sit out, you deserve to sit and wait. It's just unfortunate for the rest of the division, especially because the featherweights has not progressed as quickly as we wanted. But we're the coaches for sure. But Alex, what do you have to say about Volkanovski and Ortega, knowing now what you know about Tough and the drama and all this stuff, were these the coaches to choose?
Probably not. And I mean, honestly, logically, it probably doesn't make sense to put a champ in as a Tough coach anyway.
It's happened a few times. It's mostly been champs that need to, like when Dominic Cruz was the coach, he was like healing his knee or he was coming back. So there have been champions that have coached, but it's usually because they have like when Joanna and Claudia coached, Joanna was the champ. When John Jones and Chael Sonnen coached, John Jones was the champ. But those were like actual rivalries, and there was no clear cut next number one contender. So they kind of let the division play out, and while they coached, and then at the end of the season they fought. The difference is featherweight, there is clear cut number one contenders, and there's a lot of contenders, and there's no activity. So that's the only part I don't understand.
Volkanovski's like, he's low-key funny, though.
He's very funny.
If you put a camera on him, you know, longer than we've been doing, I think you get some gems in there.
Well, you don't think Ortega's got good jokes? You don't think you can ham it up at an improv night?
Oh, improv.
We also don't know what weight classes this will be, or if there's any, like, stipulations of, like when they've done Tough Nations, where they've had, like, Canada versus the UK, or Tough Smashes, which was like New Zealand versus Australia. I mean, not Australia. It was, England versus like the New Zealand, Australia area. We don't know any of that stipulation yet. This will also be the first one probably at the Apex, because all the other ones have been at the old Tough Gym. And I don't know much about Brian Ortega's team at all, but like in terms of his coaches outside of like the Gracies. I don't know much about his striking coaches or his boxing coaches or his head coach. Obviously, Volkanovski has City Kickboxing, so I'm curious to see more about Brian Ortega's training regime for sure, if they show that.
This was just a yes or no question. Was this a good call by the UFC?
Yeah, but we take the playbooks out of Casey Lydon, where if they ask a yes or no question, we go off on a tangent, and we usually end up talking about open scoring or why Amanda Nunes isn't the greatest female fighter of all time. Anyway, next question.
She's on a good run.
She's on a decent run.
But the answer to John Mulkin's question is, was this a good call by the UFC? No. But
join us next week as Casey Lydon hosts the A-Side Live Chat.
Only yes or no questions. It's going to take 4 minutes.
Oh, yes or no questions. Tough questions only. And every time he talks about open scoring, that's one day of no training he can't do. So, yeah, see, now he's serious. Aljo possibly out for 9 months. A bunch of questions again from Trumbo, longtime commenter. What do you think the UFC does here? Do we see an insult? A bunch of other ones, so we'll go through this quickly. What do you think the UFC does here? Do we see an interim title between Jan and the winner of TJ versus Corey Sandhagen? No.
If it's 9 months, no. Yeah.
No. Is Holland taking the short notice fight against Vittoria mistake, or is it simply extra paycheck and a mulligan if he loses? Definitely not a mistake if you're Kevin Holland, because that's what made you popular and got you where you are today. Correct?
Yeah, not a mistake. Have a lot to lose.
Not a mistake at all, because his chances of beating Vittoria, I think, are much greater than his chances of beating Brunson. So, yeah.
Agreed. Plus, Kevin Holland went 5-0 last year. He's already fought two times this year. Now, what happens to the featherweight division? Again, another question about featherweight. So, Volkanovski, Ortega, do we see Max versus Zabit? What do you say? What do you say, guys?
We want it, so we're probably not going to see it.
Yep. Damn's the rules. Yeah, sure. That's a fun fight. When's the last time Zabit fought? Was that the Calvin Kattar fight? That was a long time ago.
I don't even remember.
And then I think he was supposed to fight Yair a million times, but it keeps falling apart. Who's your early pick for Pitbull versus McKee? Ooh. Casey. Yeah, see, now he's excited.
Yeah, I can't do that one. That one's too tough. I'm gonna go Pitbull right now, but man, yeah. That's
the sorry fight. Guys, that's if you fight. Came for answers, Casey will not provide them this
episode. I said Pitbull.
You said you can't. I'm picking Pitbull just because it's hard to pick against, I think, the best, like,
best fighter.
I think he's the greatest Bellator fighter ever. I don't think that's up for debate. AJ McKee is so good, and I think this is the highest level fight Bellator could possibly put on. And it's the fight. Like, remember, Casey, you went to that media day in LA. It seems like years ago.
Oh yeah, and the steak place. Yeah.
Yeah, because the tournament was supposed to be over by now.
Yeah.
And that was when they were doing like the fight ins, so like Archuleta and Pit, mm-hmm. and Pitbull fought, and McKee and Pitbull yelled at each other the entire time, and they weren't even fighting. And McKee's like, "Why aren't we fighting right now?" And everyone in the seemed to agree, "Well, it's because you'll probably fight in the finals and it's going to be that much bigger." He goes, "I want to fight him now." Well, now we get the choice. Also, remember McKee hurt his knee before the pandemic happened, and he almost had to pull out of the tournament. So silver lining with this pandemic is AJ McKee got to heal up and get back in the tournament, pull off the submission in the air. Now he gets to fight Patricio Pitbull. So, yeah, I cannot wait for this fight. I am so excited.
So the this pandemic
is in Connecticut again, yeah. Right? Hopefully this is in California.
Yeah, who knows? By then, because this probably won't happen for another, I don't know, say 3 months. Things could change
July,
by then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said the summer.
Yeah, well, I mean, they just announced today in California, if everything goes according to plan, all restrictions will be lifted by mid-June. So that would open everything up perfectly for Pitbull McKee in California. So
hopefully at the Forum, because that seems to be
jog down there.
San Jose wouldn't be bad either, just because.
No, Forum.
Yeah, I know. I like this. What is the arena in San Jose called now?
The SAP Center or something. It used to be the HP.
The SAP Center?
Yeah, it's something.
I remember the HP Pavilion, and then it became the SAP Center. I didn't know if they had changed again. I love that arena, but obviously for Casey can just run over there. Sure. Yeah. Have it at the Forum.
But you know why San Jose sucks? San Jose sucks, though, because the hotels are expensive as holy heck. And San Jose is so boring outside of people fighting. So
San Jose just expensive in general?
Super expensive for what it is. Super expensive because it's a tech town and stuff. Ugh. Let's talk real estate. All right. Man. Oh yeah, here we go.
Bellator questions from Andy Burton. Has Pitbull become a legend like Fedor? And is what would it take for him to surpass him as the greatest fighter to never fight in the UFC? Casey?
No, not a legend like Fedor, because Pitbull can't fill up, you know, 40, 50,000 people in Saitama. So that's kind of crazy. But what would it take him to surpass the greatest fighter? He can't. Fedor's Fedor. So that answers that one.
Is Fedor kind of the clear consensus, never fall, greatest to never fight in the UFC?
I would have to say. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Is Corey Anderson being, and to answer the question, never going to surpass Fedor.
Yeah.
Corey Anderson being overlooked, Alex?
In what way?
In Bellator's I feel like when people are looking at the Bellator light heavyweight Grand Prix that's about to happen, I don't think a lot of people are picking Corey Anderson to win. It's usually Nemkov, Bader, like Yoel, Anthony Johnson. I don't think a lot of people are picking Corey Anderson to win.
That's okay. Doesn't matter.
I think so. Corey Anderson can win a lot.
I haven't heard anybody say anything about Corey Anderson, so I don't think he's being overlooked that much.
With Ryan Bader being the heavyweight champ, if he is defeated in this tournament, could a victory over Bader at light heavyweight set up a rematch at heavyweight for anyone in the bracket, especially Machida, Nemkov, Johnson, since they would hold two victories over him? Well, Nemkov and Rumble Johnson are on the other side of the bracket, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So those would be in the finals, maybe. Especially Rumble, because he's massive, physically massive.
So are they suggesting Nemkov or Machida?
If someone beats Bader, if one of these three beat Bader in the light heavyweight tournament, would we get a third fight at heavyweight?
Nah, I doubt that.
For Bader's title. It'd be like if Amanda lost a bantamweight, would the rematch immediately be a featherweight for the other belt? Or could McKee rematch Pitbull for the lightweight title right away?
That one actually makes more sense. Because McKee's talked about going up, because I think he will grow out of that, his 45 frame eventually. I think that's why he was in a big hurry to fight Pitbull, because I think those weight, I think he feels like every month, you know, it's harder and harder for his body to make 145. So this fight, this is going backwards a little bit. That fight between Pitbull and McKee may be McKee's final fight at featherweight. So I can see that. But as far as if Nemkov wins the tournament and fighting Bader at heavyweight, I doubt that. I don't think that's good for Bellator. I think they should try to build up their own. I don't think they need double champs.
Especially because they might get Overeem or JDS.
Yeah.
They probably want to throw him in a title fight. Anyway, hopefully I answered your question, Andy. Andy Burton on the site.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
This is an interesting question. I like this one.
From Jose Meyer, Joe M UFC 111 on Twitter. I've asked before, so many MMA journalists and analysts hope this gets discussed. Has there ever been a better top five in any weight division in any era at their prime over a course of 4 years than the pick attached? Thank you. And it's a picture of Habib with the championship, and then Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson, Dustin Poirier, and Conor McGregor. From MMA Dive, it's a graphic, and then it says the golden era. If someone wants to argue that this is the greatest iteration of any weight class at any point in time in MMA history in one promotion, I would not argue against it. I'm sure a lot of the old school fans will say the light heavyweight division back in like the mid 2000s when they had Tito, Chuck, Rampage, Randy Couture, Shogun, like those guys. Those are probably, because they're also all Hall of Famers. Not that these guys aren't, but they're not quite there yet. But I would have no problem if you want to say this is the greatest peak moment in any division, in any promotion ever. What say you, either of you two?
Nothing else comes to mind. I mean, I'd have to do a deep dive and look at the top fives of the past 4 years. Obviously, I mean, you need to take Khabib out of that photo, maybe put Charles Oliveira in there. Otherwise, this question is 2 months too late. I mean, that's a heck of a lineup.
You know, when I first read this, I was kind of like, it's whatever. But then I thought about it more. I was like, you know what? I think, I don't know, there could be some truth to this. And
there is.
I think, I forget this is over kind of a span of time, not like in one singular moment. And the thing that's especially impressive about this photo, this graphic of these five fighters, is that I don't think at any point in lightweight history where you've had five active lightweights who could all have held a belt. Yeah, and who could all legitimately main event pay-per-views and sell out, you know, good size arenas. And I think that's important to note too, that these are all like A-siders, and you know, they could definitely move the needle, because a lot of times you might get guys who are really good, but you know, the fans just aren't like say bantamweights. A lot of really good bantamweights, but they can't fill up an arena like these five gentlemen can.
Yeah. So Poirier, Gaethje, and Tony Ferguson have all held the interim lightweight title at one point, and then Habib and Conor have been the undisputed lightweight champion at one point. So of those five, and of course, that's not even including, like, Justin Gaethje was the World Series of Fighting champ, Conor was the Cage Warriors champ, like, it all, like, there's a lot of belts in that picture. Bantamweight's awesome right now, but they can't hold that. And like I said, I think those
for
early
name
2000s,
value, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I think those early 2000s light heavyweight divisions, probably the same in terms of, like, being able to headline pay-per-views, like, Rampage could headline, Chuck could headline, Tito, Randy Couture, Shogun, like Forrest Griffin. Those guys are all Hall of Famers, legends. If you look at the greatest, like most popular fighters over a course of time, it's usually those guys are always included. So yeah, I would say the early to mid 2000s light heavyweight could probably hold that too. Tang Nguyen on Twitter. Why is that boxing can pay its fighters $30 million plus per fight while the UFC can't? Why doesn't boxing get a ton of bad press for paying its undercard fighters $1K, but the UFC does? Boxing, it's mostly because it's one fight cards, and then you really, and then they kind of fill out the rest of the card underneath it. Plus, boxing, you got to deal with TV rights, like who's going to broadcast this. You got physical, like, promotions, like Top Rank, Golden Boy, the Mayweather promotions, what Canelo's kind of doing his own thing right now. And then you got five belts, you got mandatories. You got to argue over hotels and arenas. Like, because remember when...
Wait, what question, what question are you answering? Are you answering
all of it. I'm just talking about why boxing is so much different than the UFC in terms of, like, how much they can pay out. So, like, if Conor and Habib fought, you're not having, like when Mayweather and Pacquiao fought, Mayweather had a partnership with Showtime and the MGM. And Manny Pacquiao had a partnership with, what, HBO and the Mandalay Bay? Like, you don't have those situations coming into the UFC. It's just, like, there's more money being involved. Correct me if I'm wrong, Casey, because you've covered a lot of boxing. Esther's obviously was the photographer for Showtime Boxing for a long time, if not still.
Mr. Nguyen, I would suggest you just go to bloodyelbow.com. There's a terrific article that was very recently written by John Nash talking about this in particular. It's a long article, but basically it comes down to monopoly versus competition. In boxing, the boxers, people have to compete for their services. You have different sponsors, different arenas, different hotels, promoters, broadcasters. They're all competing for those boxer services. For UFC fighters, there's no comp. It's just one person. It's just basically Hunter Campbell and Dana White, just deciding. So there's not a big bid of how much you're going to pay you. It's just one. They go, well, we think it's worth this much. Take it or leave it. So that's pretty much why.
There you go.
And to answer the second part of the question, this is actually really important too, because I see this a lot. This guy got paid $1,000. The big difference is those $1,000 fighters or whatever, I guarantee you those aren't being broadcast on HBO or on Showtime or on the pay-per-view. So like say for a Mayweather boxing match, there's usually like 10 fights on it, but those aren't even aired. Those are like literally shot on like on iPhones. You know, they're not like on TV broadcast partners. And if they were on Showtime or HBO, they would be getting paid more because that would be in their contract. Who you broadcast for is in your contract. So a lot of times that's why these guys are just to sell a couple of tickets. It's not don't even think of it as a card. It's the way they do the cards are completely different. You know,
do they get bad press? So, like, do you hear a lot of fans complain about boxing pay?
Yeah, well, they try to make the same comparison. And Bellator is a bit the same way. Like a lot of the early, not so much now, but especially a few years ago, the very early prelims for Bellator, they weren't truly Bellator fighters. They were just local guys who were on one fight contracts. And like, there's no such thing. Like, especially like UFC. Once you go into UFC, basically, you know, you've signed off all your rights to the UFC and you're stuck with them for a while. For these early Bellator prelims, a lot of these early boxing prelims, and the guys way in the undercard that aren't even aired on TV, these are just one-off deals.
Bellator even has post-limbs are after the main event.
Yeah, they don't fill them up, yeah.
That blew my mind the first time I heard that. I'm like, the heck?
Yeah. Well, UFC used to have that too. It's just you haven't had it in a while. But yeah, there'll be dark fights that come after the main event because they run out of time early in the night. Hey, it's your cat.
Yeah.
We're having issues over here. it's just chaos behind me.
Cool. Did we answer that?
Hope that answered your question, Mr. Gwen.
Yeah. And again, go to bloodyelbow.com and read that article. It's a great article by Mr. Nash.
Terrence Leverett, I doubt something comes of it, but with UFC and Ryzen bosses meeting up, what do you think will come of it? Also, given the possibilities of what three Ryzen versus UFC matchups would you like to see? # the A side. So, for those of you who haven't seen, Dana White posted a photo, and it was Saki Kibara, who's the president. What's his official title? President? CEO? Whatever it is.
Yeah, president.
Of Ryzen. Dana White and one, Floyd Mayweather. So a whole lot to unpack there. What could come of it? I have literally no idea. Because that's the last three people I thought would be sharing the room or a meeting together. Like, Floyd and Tucker Barr obviously have done business together when they did the Tension versus Mayweather boxing match exhibition. I don't know what Dana White is doing there. He's talked about getting into boxing for a while, but he always seems to back out after a while. So I have absolutely no idea. But Casey, what did you think of when you saw those three individuals in that photo?
I think nothing's going to come of it. But in my dream, I'm hoping they're sitting around a table and Dana goes, "Hey, those Ryzen shows look really cool. We should do giant entrances like that and get rid of this Venom deal and let fighters wear what they want to wear." And Floyd goes, "Yeah, you should do that." And everyone goes, "Yeah, cool. Later, guys."
What three?
That sounds like Dana.
Cool.
Cool. Hey, I like what you guys are doing. Even just that part. I don't think he's ever complimented any other promotion ever. Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
You guys want to see Rage? I love Rage.
What three Ryzen versus UFC matchups would you like to see?
Casey.
Whatever.
Horiguchi versus anyone.
Horiguchi versus anybody. As long as they're in a Ryzen ring, I don't care. That's all. As long as they're in a Ryzen ring. I'm going to say Beruto, the big sumo guy. Whatever freak show matches you can have against, but just like freak show old sumo guys against, I don't know, Cody Garbrandt. That's what I want to see. Three times in a row.
How about, I would like to see an amalgamation of the UFC and Ryzen ring, like in the old TNA wrestling, where it was like a six-sided ring.
Eight-sided ring.
Ropes. Love it. Give it to me. The more tomfoolery, the better.
Oh, we could see, if we want the real matchups, bring in Adam Waits. Ryzen has the Adam Waits championship, so. Mm-hmm. Yay. All right. But none of that's going to happen, so stop getting my hopes up. Oh, boy.
Let's talk Jones from MMG 2K20. I have heard 99% of MMA media say that the UFC needs to make Jones versus Francis versus Jones, or better yet, Ngannou versus Jones. However, do they? They never made Khabib GSP. They never made Anderson Jones or Anderson GSP, and they are all successful today in 2021, especially with stars like McGregor, Masvidal, and Diaz fighting this year, along with the likes of Israel and Francis, who are starting to gain more popularity. They are more than happy to pass on this fight if Jones prices himself out. Only the fans lose here. Do you think we will see this fight? I think we will. I think the difference between all those ones you mentioned and McGregor, Masvidal, Diaz fighting this year is McGregor, Masvidal, Diaz are kind of all the same weight class, so they can fight. And it would be big bucks. Like, Khabib, and also none of those three are champions. So, like, Khabib, GSP, Anderson, Jones, all those guys were champions. So, like, who's going to fight? Like, are they dropping belts, or is the belt going to be on the line, this and that? That was the whole thing because Dana White didn't want one guy to hold two belts for a long time until Conor showed up. But anyway, to answer the question, do we see this fight? Francis Ngannou versus John Jones, yes or no? Casey?
No, of course not. Of course not.
There you go. Alex, do we see this fight?
I'm going to, you know, my gut said no as well. It's just instinctual, you know, like I just don't feel like it. And I also don't feel like they need to be honest with you. This fight doesn't really do it for me. I know everyone's like, this is the biggest fight in MMA. I don't really believe that either. You know, I actually think Conor Nate 3 blows this fight out of the water.
Yeah. I would not argue against that. But in terms of like intrigue, I would say more interested in Ngannou Jones. But now, in terms of fan interest, I think Diaz McGregor 3 obviously might sell more.
I actually do think Ngannou versus Jones is the biggest fight they could do right now. If the UFC actually promoted it and Dana didn't just kind of crap on John Jones all the time and actually, you know, promoted him as, you know, the greatest, you know, 205er ever, pound for pound best, moving up and taking the biggest challenge ever in his career against the unstoppable forward escort, you know, Francis Ngannou.
Yeah,
if it was truly promoted right and really showed Ngannou's real story, like did a real primetime type of promotion for this, and you know, bring back those great shows, that would be so cool. But it's not gonna happen. So just get my hopes up.
Did the gave him the Conor Aldo or the Aldo McGregor treatment and did like the world tour? Not that they can do a world tour during a pandemic, but if they promoted it right and they brought like John Jones to Cameroon and did like a stare down. And then they bring him to like John Jones' stomping ground, just stare down. Stop at Paris, do a stare down on the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah,
like, come on. That would be pretty awesome. It's not gonna happen though.
Yeah, again,
it's not gonna happen.
Casey, you think he's gonna price himself out? Is that why you think?
No, he's not gonna price himself out. There's no such thing as pricing yourself out. Like that's putting the onus on the fighter. It's the UFC that will not pay up. But you're correct, Alex. UFC doesn't need it, because this goes back to the earlier question about monopolies and competition compared, you know, the boxing question. The UFC has so much guaranteed revenue from ESPN based on their contract. They don't need to throw a great pay-per-view out there. They can just throw a pay-per-view out there.
That's like what I was saying in a preview show when I think it was for one of the press conferences. Dana White he's not selling fights anymore. He's gonna get money no matter what. It's like Dana's up there, like I've even like our friend Oscar Willis and I have we kind of game plan questions, and I've like thrown these softball questions to Dana, because like I ask an easy question before I can ask like a quote difficult non fight week one. So I'm like, Dana, Piotr Jan and Aljo, can you remember a more competitive division in a long time? He's like, yeah, these guys are great. One killer and one killer. I was like,
awesome.
Is that all you got? And then I was like, why is this rematch bigger than Brock Lesnar versus Frank Mir or JDS and Kane or Stipe and Daniel Cormier? He's like, just two scary monsters. I was like,
Right.
He just pulls his like cliche like things out of a bag, like killer.
So it's like he's like, you're gonna sell it no matter what. So he's not like, the last time we saw Dana get hyped for fights was probably the Ngannou press conference, and he was just like rattling off all these things that Ngannou could punch, and you just saw Stipe just going like, that's really hard, or when his face turns like beet red when he was screaming about Conor McGregor. We don't really see promoter Dana anymore.
No.
Anyway.
All right. Thank you very much. Anyway, yeah. Oops. Get off. There we go.
Tristan Gaudette on the site. Your thought booked Max Holloway versus Justin Gaethje. Both fighters are silent as we speak, unless the UFC decides to book Zabit versus Max. Mike Heck mentioned waning to see this fight. I assume wanting to see this fight. I'm not going to say no to either of those fights. Whether they happen or not is another question. Of these two, Alex, would you rather see Gaethje Holloway or Holloway Magomed Sharipov?
No, I'd rather see Zabit versus Max. Holloway Gaethje, I mean, that's an interesting just question mark. But I just don't think like that it just doesn't make any sense to me. So.
Yeah, Justin fighting Max would be a banger. If Max wants to go test himself at lightweight while he waits for the featherweight division to play out, that works too, like he did when he fought Dustin. But like Justin wants a big name at lightweight. He wanted a title shot. Beating Max probably could get him there, but I don't know. Zabit Max is awesome. Casey, of these two specifically, which one would you rather see more?
If I don't care about the featherweight division in general, like just the movement, the division, I would easily go Max Holloway, Gaethje. I just to get those two guys in the cage while they're still active fighters, I just think it'll be amazing. I just love that fight. Dude, Max Holloway might be the second best lightweight in the world. I mean, in the UFC at least. We don't know. I mean, he fought a very competitive, crazy fight against Dustin Poirier. And that was, he'd even bulk up, you know. So Max Holloway could be the best lightweight in the world if he had the time to, you know, properly get ready for it. I mean, Max Holloway was, if he had a decent weight cut, he would have already fought Khabib. Who knows what would have happened, you know? So I'll go Holloway, Gaethje. But I understand. We know Zabit needs to fight and all that stuff. So, you know, we got to move the division ahead.
I would say Holloway, Zabit, just because I want to see Zabit fight. I'm tired of waiting for Zabit Yair. That fight's never going to happen. But we don't know when Zabit's coming back. It's not like he's dropped these. He's not calling people out on Twitter. He's not saying, like, I want to be active in there. He posts a lot, but he's not calling for fights anyway.
All right.
Hope that answers your question. Also watch Max versus anyone. Same as Justin Gaethje. What intriguing from another one from Tristan Gordet. What intriguing matchups are you looking forward to from the three fight promotions starting tonight with one championship? Demetrius Johnson versus literally anyone, and he's not even the champ. What is the champion's name? Adriano Moranis. Yeah, Marini, something like that. Which is unfortunate because I just was making graphics about this.
I don't know very much about him other than he's very good, and this is a very
unbelievable
matchup. Yeah,
Adriano. Moraes, yeah. Nice. My brain always wants to say Adriano Martin just because of the UFC
fighter. Yeah.
great fighter. He's coming off he avenged his loss against. I'm never going to be able to say his the opponent he beats name, but he's 1-1 against him, I believe. So, yeah, that fight is awesome. It's tonight, one on TNT 2, 10 p.m. Eastern. There's only like 3 or 4 fights on the main card and rugs on the prelims, fools. Anyway,
they want you to come Casey, in, they want you to tune in early.
What's a Bellator fight this weekend you are excited for?
Oh, this weekend. Main event. Of course, Bader Machida. There was a couple of them. There's a couple of lady fights.
One fight. You can pick one fight.
One fight.
Tell someone to watch one fight.
One fight. Demetrius Johnson.
No, I mean like one fight for Bellator. One singular fight.
Wait, just I chose, coming up, what are we talking about?
I chose one championship this weekend. I picked the DJ or Moraes versus Johnson. Casey, you tell fans what they should watch in Bellator.
The main event.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see if Bader can get it back. You know, he got famously knocked out by Machida. Rushing in, you know. Oh, and I'm also excited for Vanessa Porto making her Bellator debut. And Katsugano's fighting too. So,
Alex, what fight should fans watch on the UFC card this weekend?
I'm going to say Nina Ansaroff and Mackenzie Dern.
Oh, yep.
I was just listening to Mike Hicks' interview with Mackenzie Dern, and she's just like so excited, you know, given her last performance, and everybody always saying that, like, you just got to, you know, get Mackenzie in the first round, blah, blah, blah. Now she's proven that she can actually get better as she goes and get to that third round and still pull it off. You know, that's what she's been like really working on. She wants to show her strengths, but not to mention two recent moms. I mean, that's just amazing. She's talking about being such an inspiration to, you know, women all over. And I think that's huge. You know, that's awesome.
I think that fight should absolutely be the co-main event, not like
No way. Okay, I get most
absolutely should be the co-main event.
Most of the time, I agree with you right there. I don't want to bump Arnold Allen versus Sadiq Youssef from the co-main event. That fight rules. Like two undefeated featherweight guys, prospects, and the ranked guys. I have 9 times out of 10, I would agree with you, but I think they got the co-main event right, and Nina can be right below. Well, now that Kyle Daukaus is off the card. They should be above Sam Alvey versus Julian Marcus for sure.
Oh, that's insulting. You just made me mad.
That's fine.
Oh, God.
They should be above Alvey and Marcus?
No, the fact that Sam Alvey, God bless him, is above fighting. Oh, man. No,
Nina Ansaroff and Mackenzie Dern is sandwiched between Alvey versus Marcus and Mike Perry versus Daniel Rodriguez, which I don't want to move Mike Perry and Rodriguez from that spot, because like usually the first fight on the card,
the main event is like an action fight,
and that is an action fight.
Yeah, it is.
And then I think Nina and then Sam Alvey Marquez can be there, because sometimes Sam Alvey fights can go a very specific way. And Kyle Dox is off, and I think Nina versus Dern, Allen versus Youssef, bang bang, and then the main event. I don't hate that lineup. But I don't want to bump Allen and Sadiq off, because that fight absolutely rules.
It's a good fight, but I think it's just a fight between two prospects. I think Nina versus Dern is a higher level, higher ranked fight.
I wouldn't even say those guys are prospects anymore. They're both like 4 or 5-0 in the UFC.
Well, I guess not prospects. That might be the right word. I guess they're getting their kind of shine on a big card, you know, rather.
Yeah, but I think this is Dern.
But either way, you can't lose. But
and I we don't know what Alex said. This is Nina's first fight back. I have no idea how she's gonna look. I think she's just bump her up one fight over Alvey and Marquez. But because when's the last time Nina answered a fight? Was that that
when she
card?
When she lost to Suarez?
Oh my God, she's returning before Tatiana, and she had a baby. You hate to see it.
But hey, that area of the body recovers faster than a neck injury, I guess.
Sure does. But Tatiana's insane. She wants to come back this summer.
It took a while for cool Alex to kind of think about that. Like, oh, yeah.
I'm lagging here.
Your gears were going, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Dr.
Leiden's correct.
Let me fact check.
Talking about coming back this summer, if you guys had to book a fight for Tatiana Suarez's return, who would you give her?
Let me look at the rankings. Did they keep her in here? Is she still in the rankings?
I don't know.
For Suarez, I would give her someone like out right near the 10, like 9, 10, 11 rank, just because I'm in favor of coming back slowly, not jumping right into the deepest end.
Yeah, I don't think she's gonna want that though.
Fighters that they want to do, they go, oh, I'll fight Godzilla. You know, that's what they'll say. Right. I'll fight for free in a parking lot right now. That's not the best thing to do though.
Let's say I'll put her four. Let's treat her like she's the fourth fighter, ranked fighter, and let's. Who would you match her up with?
Whoever number three is.
Jan. She's already got a fight.
Then Joanna.
Don't hate it.
Joanna. That's the one to do.
Don't hate it. I think Marina or Joanna. Or if Mackenzie Dern wins against Nina, that's another fun fight. Because Mackenzie Dern's sitting 11 right now. That would be 10, Casey. So that would fall right into your scenario.
Got you. The fighter I think is going to be so good is, I forget her name. She just beat up Olivia Souza. What is her name?
Oh.
She was like a 25 or came down 15. God dang, she is good. I forget her name. Santos?
Talia Santos?
Is that it?
Let me find out. I'm looking it up right now. Amanda Lemos. She's a savage.
Yeah, she is. I've seen her fight a couple of times. I get the same type of feeling when Wei Li kind of after first couple of fights in the UFC. I'm like, okay, that woman is gonna be fighting. I don't know if she's gonna be champ, but she'll be fighting for the belt. And I feel the same way for her. That girl, as long as she can make that weight cut safely, she looks incredible.
Yeah, she just failed. She just lost 2 years to her USADA, which is unfortunate.
Yep. All right. Last question from the site. Before we go to the
Patricio
YouTube comments.
Pitbull, Tristan Gordet. Hypothetically, if Patricio Pitbull ever makes the jump to the UFC as a featherweight contender, who would you match him up against as his first opponent? Would you give him a title shot off the rip? I would do it, making the exception to the rule due to how dominant he has been. Yeah, whoever's the champion at 145, Pitbull fights right away. Right away.
Yeah, if Pitbull came to the UFC, absolutely. He fights for the title. And right now, like in my unofficial worldwide rankings, Pitbull is the best featherweight in the world. Above Volkanovski, above Holloway.
All right.
That doesn't mean Volkanovski and Holloway can't beat Pitbull. But if we ranked them right now, I have Pitbull as the best featherweight in the freaking world right now. And he's possibly a 35er. The guy says he's a 35er. I got to see it though. But he says it.
Yep. Title shot right away. Don't care who it's against.
Nope. Yes.
Or if they want to just do, or if they don't want to do that, if they want to give him the like a contender series first. If don't hate Holloway if he's not champion just because those guys were like the champions for so long. Or if Jose Aldo wants to move back to 145 or fight Patricio Pitbull and make it happen because. Our colleague Guillerme Cruz did one of those like fighter interviews fighter thing, mm-hmm. and like Pitbull interviewed Aldo when they were both champions at 145. man, make it happen.
Yeah, Pitbull doesn't fight with a belt. Yeah, definitely like a former champ, like Aldo or Holloway. I agree. Just because the name value.
Whoever is the highest ranked featherweight in the world that is not fighting for the title, that is free, should fight Patricio Pitbull in the UFC.
Right, here we go. Going to the comments now. Oops, fix that.
Lucas Baca on the YouTube comments. Do you think Holland stands a chance against Vittori? Alex?
Sure. I mean, Holland's, he's a savage. I mean, like you said, he went 5-0 last year. I mean, do I think he gets it done this weekend? No, I think Vittori wins. But at the same time, like, of course, Holland stands a chance. I just think Vittori is angrier. I think he's got so much more pent up. He's just so frustrated, and I can't blame the guy. Dude, I mean, gosh, he's just been dealt like a shit hand lately. With all the opponents, like, and you know what? In Holland, I feel like his aspirations are different than Vittori too. Holland just wants to get in there and just bang, right? Like, it's just wherever it goes, it goes. If it goes to a title, it goes to a title. If not, whatever, we're just having a good time. But Vittori, I just feel like, has those long-term aspirations that I think he's just a little bit more driven, in my opinion.
Marvin Vittori has two emotions, annoyed and rage.
Yeah.
He has no middle ground. I think Marvin Vittori wins. Could Kevin Holland win? Sure. I just think Marvin Vittori is a huge middleweight, and Kevin Holland is a tiny middleweight. I just think Marvin Vittori wins, but Kevin Holland's an awesome high action fighter. Casey?
I give Holland a better chance. Like I said earlier, I give Holland a better chance of beating Vittori than I did of him beating Brunson. So
Marvin Vittori's win over Jack Hermanson was super eye opening for me. I thought Jack Hermanson was going to kind of dominate that fight just because he had been preparing for 5 rounds. Marvin Vittori was on the card, but he got the last minute switch. Marvin Vittori's win over Jack Hermanson was very impressive to me. It was an eye-opening fight. Vittori's great.
All right.
And he's just filled with hate.
These fighters that are just filled with anger, do these guys ever win the championship? Do they ever really, like...
I'm just talking about this fight specifically.
Oh, this fight. I just feel like that hits a wall eventually.
Sure.
I think he'll calm down once things start to go his way.
Yeah, I think what Alex said is, because remember he was like, Carl Roberson fight fell out, and then Carl Roberson missed weight, and then he was booked against Darren Till, and then Darren Till fell out. So like Marvin Vittori is kind of the unlucky fighter because something's always happening to his opponent, and he gets pissed. But he did say like when Roberson missed weight when they rebooked it, and Marvin Vittori was like getting his medicals done, and Sean Shelby came in and like tiptoed in, and they're like, and he's like, Marvin, I'm gonna tell you something, and Marvin's like, I'm fine, man, like as long as we can fight. So if he says he's cool, then whatever. But I've never personally seen Marvin Vittori even keeled unless he wins a fight.
Yeah. It's us Italians. We're hot-headed. It's in our blood.
That is true.
I didn't say that. You said it.
I said it. I'm allowed to say it.
You're allowed to say it.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out. Yeah.
Yep.
Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAC.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
And do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch, wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right. This is the big question. Here we go. Big question. Are you ready?
From Cynthia Vance in the YouTube comment section. How underwhelming was the release of the Venom uniforms? There's literally nothing different about it from the Reebok look and deal. All right. You guys, take it away. Venom uniforms. Thoughts?
I think Venom played it safe for the first round. I think that we'll see more iterations maybe later on. And I'm also this one's going to get me attacked, but I like that everybody looks uniform. I think it really legitimizes the look of the sport outside of like the tap out era where everyone just assumed like everybody wearing like a tap out or that kind of crap with all the sponsorships everywhere just looks like, you know, dog fighting. So I like the uniforms. Sue me. I'm sorry. But I think, you know, they played it safe. They didn't want it to be like too much of a juxtaposition from the Reebok deal so that we're going to kind of see kind of fade away from it. And then I think hopefully Venom can, you know, kick it up a notch as far as like interest goes.
10 out of 10, short use of the word juxtaposition. Fantastic. Casey, we know your thoughts. You hate it. Uniforms suck. But if you want to go hard on the paint on the Venom deal.
If you want better fighter pay, you got to get rid of the uniforms. That controls all the sponsorship money. That puts all – and the sponsorship money that is out there, that goes now to the UFC to put on the mat. So this whole, oh, we don't want the fighters looking like NASCAR. Well, dang, Matt looks like a NASCAR – looks like a NASCAR vehicle. So that's BS. So yeah, if you want better fighter pay, get rid of uniforms. And as far as how they look, I don't care. Uniforms suck. This isn't a team sport. We're not, this isn't the Celtics or some other, the Red Sox. I don't know, I'll quote Red Sox. the Patriots. No, there is like that's what makes I don't know. That's why I got into combat sports because there's so many stories, so many different looks, and the fact that they're wearing uniforms sucks. And they can call them fight kits all they want, but they're uniforms.
But the fact about them getting paid less shouldn't have anything to do with uniforms. That's just the UFC's fault. However, they want to structure their wear uniforms and pay them higher. Hey, cool. Now everybody wins.
But the sponsorship money out there goes to the UFC then. It's like, so like I'm Manscaped and I have, you know, $50,000. It's like, well, I have to give to the UFC now. I can't give it to a fighter. And, you know, because I want my name in the UFC broadcast, but I can't put it across their butt now. So I have to pay the UFC to put it on a post.
All right. Regardless of pay, because we all agree fighters should be paid more, just the aesthetics.
More fangs. Needs more fangs.
Okay. So just the aesthetics of the fight. Alex, you don't hate them. Casey, you hate them. I'm going to say I am so indifferent to how the UFC fight kits look. Do I want colorful, crazy things? Sure. Would love it. Love Ryzen and Bellator gives these gives like them all the fun things to do. But if they're not there, I'm still going to watch. Fight Kids isn't the be-all, end-all for me. yeah, I'm very indifferent. Do they look dumb? They look boring.
Yeah, they look boring. Sure.
They look very boring, but I'm not banging my head against the door. But I will take the Venom. I will take the boring if the UFC gets – if the fighters get more pay, for sure. That's the most important thing. But that's neither here nor there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Venom was paying – no random fighter, no $20,000 to wear a boring outfit. Cool. But they're not. So,
yeah.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Vance. We cover it. Yeah, we think about the fangs. Is there any more fangs, cool, Alex, since you love them so much, since you love uniforms?
Fangs.
I just think.
Maybe a little rattle.
The UFC is at a pivotal point. MMA is at a pivotal point of reaching a lot more fans. Listen, I'm going to mute you. Switch places with me. And I just think in order to gain, you know, legitimacy, like I said, like it just, it's got to look, I understand it's all optics.
But where does this come from though? Where does this theory come from that people would like people would like cage fighting better if they're wearing a uniform?
I don't think it's that they're going to like it better. I think they might give it a chance. It doesn't look like a bunch of randos with some stickers slapped on their butts, like you said, just fighting in a cage. There's just the illusion of what MMA fighters used to look like, what they look like now. The uniforms, it adds legitimacy. It just does. Everybody looks neat and tidy and clean. Like I said, mm-hmm. One man's opinion. Don't mm-hmm. shoot me.
I didn't say anything. That's literally an opinion you have, Alex. Yeah,
I get the people. I get the arguments for uniforms. Like the NFL, you can be sponsored by whatever you want, but you have to wear Nike on the field. The difference is it's a team sport, and those athletes are so popular that they're going to make a ton of money not playing. Plus, they can wear whatever cleats they want. Like Michael Jordan has to wear whatever at the time the uniforms were made by, with the little, like, say they were made by Reebok. The Chicago Bulls uniform would have the Reebok logo or Adidas or whatever, but he could wear Jordan sneakers because you also famously, when he had like the flag, he put the flag over his shoulder to cover the logo, or like, which obviously was a whole big thing. Or RG3, I think, like, drew over the logo. I think he was Under Armour and he like drew over the Nike logo and got fined a whole bunch of money. Or Cam Newton was sponsored by Under Armour and he had a Under Armour mouth guard that would attach to his mask, and the attachment had a big Under Armour logo right in the center of the mask, which also got him fined, which is a whole other argument for the NFL.
Cynthia Vance, get a new avatar. You got a new haircut. You got the pink hair. Come on. This is old, this old photo. Get with it, Cynthia. All right. Real fast, we got to fly through these. I got to set up for the next.
How well do you think Juan Archuleta will perform against Jan Aljo Stenhagen, etc.? Fantastic. Don't know if we beat any of them, but would love to see any of those fights.
Everything Jose said, fantastic. He is up there as long with Pettis, Mix, and Magomedov. They're all great bantamweights.
And James Gallagher.
Oh yeah, and Gallagher. Anything?
Next.
No, oh, jeez.
Right. Love all those fights. I'd probably favor the other three over him, but your reaction to Chavez versus, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. versus Anderson Silva. Didn't see that coming. I think Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is not a good boxer. And if Anderson Silva is going to fight and beat any boxer, he could probably beat Chavez Jr. I still heavily favor Chavez Jr. I think Chavez Jr. is has a famous name, and he punches people. That's it.
I think Chavez Jr. is a decent boxer. He's a decent boxer. He would beat the crap out of me without even trying. So he is a decent boxer. And I'm happy Anderson Silva's getting a nice little payday probably, and it's going to be cool. It's going to be cool seeing him fight.
Not a big fan of Chavez Jr.
I'm not a fan of him, but I don't. Yeah. I think.
Yeah,
compared
to me, you, everyone else on the site, yeah, he beat our ass. But in terms of like the boxing world, I think he's a little overrated.
All right.
I think that Canelo fight when he fought Canelo was a joke. Anyway, am I the only person who thinks the UFC Venom gear looks like Power Rangers ish?
It does. When you put them next to each other, like the yellow, the green, the blue, it's very bright. It's very Power Rangers.
I love.
Only well, sure, but
yeah, and they were a team. Power Rangers never beat up each other.
They were Rangers.
I bet they beat up each other every once in a while. I haven't seen every episode, but
Casey, what's your favorite iteration of the Power Rangers?
The early ones.
Mighty Morphin.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the way to go. So when they did the movie, I didn't like how they took the Gorilla Zorg out and replaced it with a frog. That was weak.
We
what the hell is a gorilla sword?
Oh, come on, Alex! Yeah, really? Jeez!
So all of the Power Rangers had a badge with a.
Are you answering
animal.
This?
Yeah, yeah. With an animal or a creature, and when they held them out and they turned, they could get a robot Zork that they could like control, and then every single time they would fight this big evil whatever, and they would be losing, and then they could take all their Zorgs and combine them to make Megazoid, and they would win. And in the TV show, they had a gorilla, and in the movie, they swapped it out for a frog. And I was like, this is dumb. We guess shit. Anyway.
I think he just made up all those words.
Yeah.
Nah.
Wiggle worms and zip zorps.
Ivan Ooze was awesome, man. Also, Power Rangers has one of the best theme songs ever.
Sing it.
Can't. I'm a Power Ranger, Power Ranger, yo, Ranger of Power.
R.I.P. to most of the original Power Rangers too. I'm pretty sure the black Power Ranger had like three fingers, like he was missing a finger.
Oh my!
And then the Yellow Ranger died. I can't remember how, but in the movie, she was very young. When the movie, the new Yellow Ranger, played by Becky G, had like a bunch of Easter eggs, like paying homage to her. It was very cool.
All right. Get some more.
I learned a lot. Tales of Power Rangers.
I like this question.
Thoughts on Macy Barber, Miranda Maverick matchup? UC trying to replace Barber with another promising prospect. Alex, thoughts on?
Yeah,
Barber
they're pushing
Maverick?
Miranda. They're pushing her hard, aren't they? They're just like, hey, whatever. Let's keep going with Miranda. This actually is kind of interesting. I mean, they're both kind of that same mindset, I feel like, where they're just like so young and they're just so full of ambition and just ready to go out there and freaking kill it. So two of those, I'm looking forward to that one.
Dude, this is such a F you to Macy Barber for having to fight some random rabbit coming off a loss. Cause like, man, like she's probably facing the top prospect right now as far as flyweights in the UFC. And Barber coming off a loss, I think, off getting her butt kicked by Grasso. And she might even have a tougher fight versus Maverick. Good Lord, poor Macy Barber. I mean, I know she talked a big game, but someone in her management needs to slow it down with her a little bit. And that's a tough one. But I love the fight. I love the fight for Maverick. And that can make Maverick a bit of a she can go over the fans, you know, make her a star.
It's tough because if you watch that Grasso fight, Grasso's clearly the more polished fighter all around. But every time Macy Barber threw a punch, I thought she could have knocked Alexa Grasso's head clean off. She throws those things hard and fast. Miranda Maverick might be one of the few fighters in that division that can match Macy Barber's like physical strength and power. Mm-hmm. They're both so big for that division. So I can't believe they made this fight, but yeah, I like the fight.
Yeah.
It's a fun fight. Gonna be interesting.
Man, but it's a fight that if Barber loses though, that's gonna suck for her. I mean, Maverick can handle this loss. If she loses, you know, it's fine for her career. Sure. But for Barber though,
Miranda Maverick losing, she would have lost to Roxanne, who has fought and lost to everybody, like the definition of a veteran. I think she has the most. Someone said she might have the most wins in the history of women's like MMA. In like the current era, like not dating back.
Maybe.
They said that, and I was like, she might. She has like 40 something, 50 something fights. You don't really see that in women's MMA. And then she lost to Grasso, who was in the prime, a physical prime of her career, former strawweight, and now Miranda Maverick, a prospect. That's three completely different fighters and three completely different parts of their career that Macy Barber would have lost to. So, but love the fight. It's not a pay per view, right? It's like a fight night.
I think it's fight night. Yeah, I hope it's like a co-main event on a fight night. I hope it gets that type of push.
Yeah, depending on what else is on the card, for sure.
All right, here we go. Two more questions before I got to jump off.
Thoughts on Nina Ansara's long way to return to the octagon? How big of a factor will her pregnancy be and long layoff play in return against Mackenzie Dern? I have absolutely no idea how much of a factor pregnancy will play in this
Dr.
fight.
Casey?
Casey?
You were asking the wrong crowd. Who knows? I'm assuming Nina is a professional and she would not accept this fight unless she was going to walk into that octagon at her, you know, full potential and not, you know, her, I don't know what. Not, I don't know. I assume it would not hurt her. How have fighters done coming off pregnancies?
Mackenzie lost right away, but she fought Amanda Hibas,
which I think she loses regardless. But you know, who knows?
I don't remember how Sarah McMahon, Alexis Davis, Juliana Pena looked great right away.
I think it's case by case, to be honest. Yeah,
yeah, it is. It's case by case. I don't think you can just group all of them together. Well, it's like fighters. Like Thiago Santos said when he had that knee injury and then he came back, he was a little more cautious and he couldn't, you know, octagon, like, layoff. And then you see Dominic Cruz come back and beat TJ Dillashaw right away. You see Korean Zombie take 2 years off, come out and knock Dennis Bermudez right away. So case by case.
Oh, but more than anything, I think this is absolutely great matchmaking by the UFC because the UFC obviously loves Mackenzie Dern. And with Nina's ranking and Dern coming off a pretty solid victory over Jen Jaroba, it can catapult her in the top five. And this may be – it could possibly be – you know, not the Nina Ansaroff who was, you know, number five ranked fighter when she left. This could be a very diminished version of her. It could be. It may not be, but it could be. So this is a good chance for Dern to, you know, to jump super high in the rankings versus a ranked fighter who may not be fighting at her full potential.
And don't forget about mom strength. Mom, you have strength. A kid, all of a sudden you're lifting cars off of babies. So, I mean, they're both moms, yeah. So it doesn't apply in this case, but.
All right, and last question. It's more of a comment. Jeez.
That's, hey, man. You know, have a better, you know, do better, Jet.
Jet.
Jet Match, crystals are for losers. What? Jet Match, what? Define losers. What isn't for losers?
Jet needs a hobby.
Yeah.
Jet, get outside, man. Take a walk, you know?
Take a walk.
Jet, I have this ban button I can push any moment. Yeah,
Thin ice, Jet.
Thin ice, Jet. What kind of name is Jet? No, that's a cool name, actually.
I packed away all my crystals, and I forgot I had that giant Easter egg looking one. And yeah. My God, is it heavy. Thoughts right, on Angela Hill, Amanda Hibas matchup. That's an awesome strawweight fight. Awesome fight. Awesome fight. Tough fight.
This fight freaking rules, and I hate this fight so much. I hate this fight. Oh, that sucks that
you
one of them have
pick?
To. No, because one of them has to lose. And one
well,
of them,
not really. Sport,
because it's a sport, and we're all equals, and you win them in the ring, and you lose them in the ring, as the one late great Macho Man Randy Savage once said. Love this fight. Someone's got to win. Someone's got to lose. We'll make our predictions later.
But who's got the better laugh?
Hibas.
Amanda.
By a mile.
Wow. All right.
But that's like saying, Amanda has the best, but, like, Angela has the second best. Like, is that something to be disappointed at?
It's a pound-for-pound best laughs in MMA fighting. So no punching, just laughing is who wins.
Loser can't laugh.
Loser can't. They just have to stare at each other, and first one that laughs loses.
Loser becomes one of those. Loser becomes the person that doesn't laugh. They just say, "That's so funny. That's so funny." You ever watch Scrubs? Either of you two? Back in the day, one of the characters dated someone, and the big knock on her was she never laughs. You would just go, "That's so funny. That's just so." And he's like.
No, like they would watch.
They watched a movie, and she's like sitting there watching. That's just so funny. Like she never laughed. I think about that sometimes. Anyway, that's the stakes. Sorry, Angela and Amanda. Is this new music?
Kinda. Sorry, it's our out music going.
Out music.
Taking it home.
Anyway, Casey, what do you got to say before we sign off?
Do I got anything to say? Nah. You know, just be good to each other. You know. Wash your hands, wear a mask, go get vaccinated, you know, and then life will be normal, and then we can all just hug random people on the streets again. I'm waiting. We're so close. Yeah, Alex, you're gonna get a hug from me.
Don't hug me. I love social distancing.
Alex, what do you got to say?
I got nothing. You know me.
I got nothing.
I never want to assume. Anyway, find this on spot. Go ahead.
Go watch. Have you guys seen Bad Trip? I feel like I'm the last person.
Yes. Yes.
Dude, I cried. I cried so many times. That's all.
Because of laughter or sadness?
Oh, laughter. A little. Oh. The scene in the mall where they just did an impromptu musical. That was like my dream. I was like, oh my God. I think this is like, I've always just wished a musical would just break out around me.
Almost.
And the gorilla scene. Oh, yeah. Okay. We can't talk about that.
The gorilla scene. Yeah.
Derek Andre's new show.
It's a new movie.
It's
an excellent watch. It's so good.
He's just going around doing tomfoolery in public, right?
Yeah. But it's so good hearted, too. It's got a good heart. Like, it's got a good feel. It's not. Yeah, it's like, if I feel good. You felt good after watching it.
Anyway, go watch that. Go read some books.
Read
a book. There you go. Go to Scholastic Book Fair once in your life. Find us on Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, all the stuff, all the podcast stuff. We'll be back next Wednesday. Stick around for Bellator Virtual Media Day. and all sorts of fun. And then tomorrow's UFC Media Day. We'll have the preview show. We'll have the pre-fight Q&A. We'll have Bellator videos Alex and Casey will work on. We'll have UFC stuff that Mike and Heck and I and Casey will work on. Until the next week, we're out.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.